from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of the original story of the Haggadah. We've discussed in other videos that the story of the Exodus from Egypt is told really four times in the Haggadah. Four times. Avadim Hayinu being one of the famous ones. The Mitchil Avdei Avodah Zarah, you have attained the idea that we used to worship idols in the days of Terach, Avraham's father, that being another start of the story. And then there's the idea that Abraham was promised 400 years of slavery and that we go out in great wealth. But the fourth story, one can argue, is the original story of the Haggadah. What do I mean original? If you look in the Mishnah, which is the oldest part of the Talmud, it says there, V'dorish me'aramio ve'davi, ajig mor kol ha'parsha kula, that you start with something bad or negative, you end with something good, and or praise of God, and then you interpret the story of the wandering Aramean until you finish the whole section. So let's go into it. Let's look at that part of the Haggadah that is perhaps the original part that's mandated to be told at the Seder to your children. So what they do is they interpret four verses. Let's look at it. The first verse reads like this. Arami Oved Avi. What does that mean? It could mean that Abraham was a wandering Aramean, but the rabbis say no. It means, and everything we're going to say, except for the first line, is from the Sifrei, the official Midrash of Devarim, of the Parsha of Kitavo. And it says, no, it means that an Aramean, Oved Avi, tried to destroy my father. Who is that? Laban tried to destroy my father. Vayera Mitzrayma. And he went down to Egypt. And he lived there with a few people, and he became a great and strong nation. So the rabbis say, what do you mean he went down? He had to go down. You think Jacob would go down to Egypt if he didn't have to? God told him, you have to go down. It's time for the 400 years. You've got no choice. He dwelt there. You think he wanted to live there? No, he didn't come there to stay there. He just came, you know, he's just visiting. And then they say, with a few people, how many were there? Whenever you say few, how many? We know, says the Haggadah, 70 people. Most of these interpretations come from Shemot. The verses are found in Deuteronomy, and in order to understand them, we need to look at Shemot, or sometimes Bereshit. And they were there a nation. What do you mean they were a nation? In what sense were they a nation? They weren't a nation. He says, no, they were mitsuyanim sham. They were distinct. Like people look at a Jewish person on the subway, they say, that's a Jewish person. A girl with a skirt like that, that's a Jew. A boy with a kippah like that, with a dressed in a certain way, that's a Jewish person. Mitsuyanim. The Jews were distinct in Egypt, even in Egypt. That's what it means that they were a nation. They didn't become a Declaration of Independence. Gadol atzum, what do you mean they were big? I'll tell you how big. You know how big they were? I'll tell you. Look in Shmos. Paru vayishvitzu vayirbu vayatzmu mod mod. They were fruitful and multiplied. They multiplied like some insects were multiplied. Very, 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 very prolific. Varav, this Rabbi Salvajic gives an interesting interpretation. Usually we say rav means they were great. So it's like a synonym. They were grand, they were great, they were gadol, atzum, rav. Three words mean the same thing. There are a lot of Jews. No. He says, we matured in Egypt. A verse is quoted not from Exodus, but from Ezekiel, that says, that describes the maturation of a girl. And it's a metaphor for the maturation of the Jewish people. We became a matured nation there in Egypt. Then we go on to the second verse. They made things bad for us, the Egyptians did. And they afflicted us, and they gave us difficult work. So the Southern Midrash says, it doesn't mean what you think it means. The story needs to be embellished. They made things bad. No, Rabbi Salvajic explains. They made us seem bad. What do you mean? Look in Shmos. They said, oh, these guys are going to take us over. They're going to take over Egypt. They're going to kick us out of Egypt. They're going to try to replace us, right? We weren't trying to do that. We were just trying to make a living. But they said we were going to replace them in Egypt. We're going to throw them out of the Egyptians out of Egypt. That's Vayareu. They made us bad. Vayanu, they afflicted us. So what do you mean they afflicted us? They put officers over us. In other words, what is affliction? Affliction is you have a job and your boss is no good. So that's a rough life. That's a rough of life. Or perhaps refers to idolatry, different interpretations. They gave us difficult work. As it says, we work befarech. What's farech? Work that starts off bad, easy, then it gets harder. Or parech means work it's foolish. It has no purpose. He said, move the bag over there. No, move it over here. 100-pound bag. You're schlepping, you're breaking your back. And he said, no, move it here, move it there. That's parech. Not just difficult work, but useless. By Lidl Avadakasha, they made hard work for us, as we said. Next verse number 3. We called out to the God of our forefathers. God heard our voice, and He saw our affliction and our amal. What's amal? Our work and lachatzenu, our pressure. So what does that mean? So he says, look, we called out to God. Well, not really. The Jews were not so religious; they didn't pray to God. What they did was they said, "Oi." It's so difficult. And he hit them over the back, and people said, oi! And he hit them again, and he said, oi! And Hashem says, what's going on here? Why are the Jews screaming so much? Not to God. They're screaming. As it says, they cried out because of all the work. He said, oi! And then, that cry came to God. Whenever a Jew, anybody is oppressed, God says, if you oppress somebody, I'm going to listen to the person who's crying because of your affliction. Watch out. So the Jews were oppressed, and God heard their cry, even though they weren't calling to Him. They were just calling. God heard our voice. He heard our na'aka. What exactly does that mean? And what did He do? He remembered the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He heard our voice. He didn't hear our voice. He heard Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was like sometimes you look at a grandchild, you don't see the grandchild, you see their grandfather, the grandmother. And He looked at the Jews, and He heard their cry, not really their cry, He heard the cry of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Midrashim say God woke them up, and an angel woke them up and said, it's time to help the Jews. The Jews are in trouble. And He saw our affliction, Supricius Tercheretz. He says, affliction is not what I was talking about before, that the boss gives you a hard time. No. If you can't be with your wife, that's affliction, right? And has a job, he works three quarters of the year in Iraq, and then he comes home once every 6 months or 2 years. That's affliction. It's a physical affliction of being separated from one's wife. As we do on Yom Kippur, we separate from our wives, husbands from their wives, wives from their husbands. On Yom Kippur, it's a type of affliction. It's a day of affliction. And when God saw this, he said, no, this is unbearable for a human being. Amalinu. So it's very strange. It says, He saw our toil. So the Midrash says, He saw these are the children. So my father liked to quip, sort of as a joke. He would say, hi, when you raise the children, there's always amalinu, there's always trouble. He had very nice children. He wasn't talking about his own children. But, you know, people sometimes complain, it's difficult to raise the children. It's not easy. It's not simple. There's no manual to raise your children, right? It's difficult. However, Rabbi Moshe Lichtenstein said, no, amal is a kind of work that's pointless. Like we mentioned before, move the bag over here, put it over there. You don't get anything out of it. What does a slave get out of work? Nothing. He doesn't make any money. He can't put anything in the bank. So that's amal. And amal is work that has, it's toil. Toil and trouble. Toil that has no point. And that was the children. To have children, and then they're thrown in the river, as it says, all children should be thrown in the river. That means you toiled, you found a nice wife, you had children together, she raised the child, she gestated the child for 9 months, and what happened? And then you feed him, you breastfeed him, and you change his diaper, and then what happens? They throw him in the river. So that's amal, it's a toil for nothing. Lachatzenu, what does it mean? Lachatz, pressure, it's not clear. It says, no, dachak. Dachak means pressure. Sometimes you're at work and they say, what do you mean? You only produced 20 pages today. You have to have 30 pages by tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's pressure. When a person's a law firm and he's a newbie and they make him stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning every single night, that's pressure. Pressure, that type of pressure. You got to produce this amount of bricks even if you don't have enough straw. I'm not giving you any straw. I'm purposely not giving you straw. That's pressure. Then it says God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and with a mighty arm, and with great fear, and with signs and wonders. What's the difference between a mighty arm, a stretched out arm, a great fear, with signs? What's the difference between a sign and a mofet is also a sign? What do these words mean? So the Medrash, which is the official Medrash that you're supposed to use to interpret these verses, as it says in the Mishnah, God took us out of Egypt, not through an angel. What do you mean God took us out? Of course he took us out. No, it's not of course. He could have used an angel. When God deals with the Jews, he takes us out directly with his own self. And what does it mean with a strong hand? Which plague was a strong hand? Sure, all the plagues were difficult. Which was the worst one? The pestilence. That was the worst. Why? Because it says God is going to, the hand of God is going to come out against your cattle. That's serious. Cattle, you lose your crops, all right, but you lose your cattle. $500 a head, that's a lot of money. It's powerful. Dever, the pestilence, everything you own dies. Dever kavedmo, it's a very heavy pestilence. This was a heavy plague, it's a strong arm. It's very interesting that somehow Dever, who would say pestilence was the worst plague? That's what it says. It's the hardest, strongest. And a outstretched arm, what does that mean? So here we sort of wax very mystical. There's a verse at the end of Samuel, which is also very mystical, that it's as if there was an angel who had a sword directed against Jerusalem. So when God says, like if Caesar says, "See over there, I'm going to conquer that." If he points to that place, that's it. They go conquer it. Babe Ruth says, "I'm going to hit a home run." Points over there, he's going to hit the home run. When God points over Jerusalem, it's finished. So in Egypt, God pointed his arm as if to say, God doesn't have an arm, but it's as if he pointed his arm and said, Egypt, it's done with. So that's what it means, an outstretched arm. Moragadol, what's the great fear? So this is fascinating. This is the most mystical passage in the whole thing. That, you know what the great fear was? A divine revelation. That lo and behold, not unbeknownst to us, there was actually a divine revelation. Now, was it there, or was it at the when we got the Torah at Mount Sinai? But in any event, that he did it for you in Egypt, in front of your eyes, right there in Egypt, in front of your le'einecha, right in front of you, meaning we could see God. In other words, all the plagues, in the timing of the plagues that we said that the Pharaoh let the Jews go, they didn't let them go, and they had all these plagues. That timing indicated clearly that. God has revealed himself. God is acting in history. And that revelation of God, in the sense that people could tell that God was acting, that was the was a revelation of God. And unbeknownst to us, we didn't know this story. It was a secret story that somehow the punchline of all these plagues is that God was revealed in Egypt. And what's a sign? A sign is anything you did with the staff. If you take a staff and you say, I'm gonna destroy the give you lice or whatever he's gonna say. When you lift it like that, it's a sign. And what's a mofet? So they say that maybe the mofet is the blood. That the plague of blood was a wonder, because it's very strange to have. It's a strain. A mofet is something bizarre, and the plague of blood was bizarre. We know that from another verse that says that God would give moftim, and one of them is dam. When people see blood, people say, "What is that? What happened?" And that's, of course, the plague of blood. Right? Then the Midrash goes into other interpretations, but that's the basic Midrash of all the verses. There's a suggestion that really we're supposed to read the next verse about going to Israel, but nowadays we don't focus on that because we don't live in Israel. Those who do, maybe they should recite that verse. But in any event, this is the original story. This is the official story of the Seder. Sometimes it's at the end of the Haggadah, we sort of daven it up, we forget about it. But this is really one of the most important stories. And I would say that if you were a waiter, or you were busy and you were working on Pesach, and you had to say something, you're a doctor, you need to say something for the Seder night, I would include this, because after all, this is the original story of the Haggadah. Thank you very much for joining us here. Wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a happy and healthy and kosher Pesach. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, as well. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.